Hello, my name is Lisa Elvin Staltari, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Most of my videos will be about travel or understanding various locations. But in this special series, I'm focusing on a subject that is near and dear to my heart, the story of Les Filles du Roi, or the King's Daughters. In this series, I'll be focusing on individual biographies so that we can get to know as many of these amazing women as we can. Please let me know in the comments below if there's one fille du roi in particular you are interested in, and I'll try to move her to the front of the line. And please don't forget to subscribe to the channel, or click on the notifications and like this video. That'll help me out a lot. All right, let's get started. I have a video called The Program 2.0 that you can have a look at, and it will describe the program Les Filles du Roi in greater detail in terms of the specifics, the ins and outs of the program, how the girls were recruited, what they came across with, all of that. I think it's important for historical background. If you're interested, it can be found on my channel. Let's get to know the next gal, shall we? Now, this lady, her name is Marie-Antoinette Lefebvre. She actually isn't related to me. She is actually the great grandmother, the nine times great grandmother of a very dear friend who has no idea that she had any kind of relationship to Les Filles du Roi. And it was a pleasure for me to discover her French Canadian lineage. And what a name, Marie-Antoinette. So let's get to know Marie-Antoinette. Marie was born in Chanoux, a small village in the district of Argentan in Normandy. This district is situated near the Orne River. This area of France dates back to the Gallo-Roman period. It came to be mentioned in the year for the first time in the year 1025. The name of the district, Argentan, is a combination of the Gaulish word for silver, Argentanos, and the word magos, meaning market. The area had a feast or famine sort of history and alternated between prosperity and destruction as the English occupied this area several times. The English considered this area one of the most critical in Normandy. So she was born in this really amazing district, and her father's name was Charles Lefebvre, and her mother's name was Louise Prudhomme. So she's born about 1653, right in the middle of all of this. The church that she would have been baptized here, it does not exist anymore. The ruins of it are there. So that is always amazing to me that these things survive. And on the left-hand side of your screen is a modern-day picture of what this village looks like. Now, upon her father's death, she was recruited to be a fille du roi and left for Canada, arriving on the 30th of July, 1671, aboard the ship, the Prince Maurice. She brought with her approximately goods worth about 400 pounds. So she came from some degree of money, not nobility, but probably upper middle class. The groom she selected, his name, Hilaire Limousin, dit Bellefort. He was born 1633 in Poitou, France. His father's name was Pierre Limousin, and his mother, Isabelle Fredet. The location of where he was born is on the Clain River in west central France. It is the historical center of the province of Poitou. Even when Hilaire lived there, it was a very old city dating back to the 4th century. It's renowned today, rich in history and architectural legacies from the 4th, the 7th, and the 12th centuries. It was and is a major educational center, with the university there being established in, imagine, 14th. 31. Eleanor of Aquitaine lived here on and off, and it was here in the chapel of Poitiers that she married the future king of England, Henry II. The city is also known for the many battles that were fought here, notably the first in 1732 as the Battle of Tours, and then the second in 1356, which was one of the key battles of the Hundred Years' War. The church of Hilaire's parish was Saint Radegon, which dates back from the 6th century, but was destroyed and rebuilt in the 10th century. So far, this church is the oldest one we have looked at in my series. Now, he arrived in Canada as a soldier with the Carignan Regiment, and his profession was actually one of being a tailor, which I think is amazing. He would have lived as a single man until 1671, when he found what we hope was the love of his life, Marie Antoinette. He was by then almost 40 years old, which for the time was very old to be starting a family. But he had probably enough money, enough, kind of credibility in the new world. And he was probably one of those fellows that just decided he wanted to have everything right before he met the love of his life. Now, Antoinette de Milan married on the 7th of November, 1671, in Quebec City at Notre Dame Cathedral. This would have been a mere 6 weeks since she had disembarked. Obviously, Ilan was through waiting and was ready and willing to start his family. Now, they first settled at Quebec City, but soon relocated to Champlain, which is just about 10 miles north of Three Rivers and about 60 miles south of Quebec City. To give you a little bit of history about this area, Champlain is a member, the town of Champlain is a member of the Association of the Most Beautiful Villages of Quebec. I mean, can you imagine? And the name of the town comes from the Champlain River, which of course was named by Samuel de Champlain himself, who named the river in 1632. The seigneurie of Champlain dates from 1664, and the first seigneur of this land was Étienne Bézard de la Touche, and it was he who officially gave the name Champlain to this town. Concessions of the land were given to the first settlers in 1667. In 1675, Hilaire received a double concession of land, both at Champlain and at the village of La Borde, from the seigneur de la Touche. So this is obviously this chapel does not date back from on the left hand of your screen, the picture. This is the current date chapel. The one on the right hand is I found on the website of the Historical Association of Champlain. And this is a recreated 3D model that they have of the chapel that was found that would have been there during Hilaire and Marie Antoinette's period during that time. Now, Pierre and Antoinette had 13 children, 10 girls and 3 boys. So let's have a look. Geneviève the first was born in 1672 and dies at 2.5 months. They then have another Geneviève, and she is the 8 times great grandmother of my friend. And she marries a man named Jean-Baptiste Lahaise, and they have 3 children, all of whom make it to adulthood, thankfully for my friend. Marie-Anne marries Pierre-Martin de la Duchat, and they had 11 children, all of whom make it to adulthood. Catherine marries Guillaume Langlois de Sanssouci de Jacques, and had 9 children, 8 of whom make it to adulthood. Marie-Louise did not marry and dies at the relatively young age of 24. Marie-Thérèse marries Jean-Baptiste Leboeuf and had 9 children, all of whom make it to adulthood. Marie-Angélique married Jean-Baptiste Lamel, 3 children, had 3 children, 2 of whom reach adulthood. Rémy-Françoise did not marry. François marries Marie-Marguerite Houd, dit Houl, and they had 12 children, 8 of whom make it to adulthood. And you'll notice that that's the first son they had after all of those girls. Marie-Charlotte marries Noël Houd de Toulle, 9, and they had 5 children, 3 of whom reach adulthood. You'll notice that they both married this the Houd de Toulle. These were the siblings. So François and Marie-Charlotte married brothers and sisters. Antoinette married Jean-Baptiste Dubois, and they have 8 children, 6 of whom make it to adulthood. Joseph married Marie-Joseph Dubois. They have 12 children, 11 of whom make it to adulthood. And then Marie-Joseph Pierre marries Marie Joseph La Courrier at the late age of 40, and Marie Joseph was 30. They only had one child, and that child did reach adulthood. So, all in all, a tremendous amount of descendants of this particular family. Just amazing, amazing. Now, Elia would live until the ripe old age of 75, a remarkable achievement to be sure during this era. He is buried in the Notre Dame de la Visitation Cemetery in Champlain. The original cemetery that he was buried at is known as the Old Champlain Cemetery and closed in 1802, and all of the graves were then moved to the newer cemetery. As for Antoinette, we do not have a burial record for her, but we have to assume that she is buried right next to her, the love of her life, Elia. As for the approximate death by her name being mentioned in documents, we can estimate she dies between 1708 and 1725, giving her a death age range from 55 to 72. I like to think it's probably somewhere in the middle, and that she would have gone to live with one of her many daughters and been taken care of. Very, very amazing life. And with that, we end our 25th episode of Les Filles du Roi. I thank you for listening, and I can't wait to see who's next on the list. And I will see you on video number 26. Until then, au revoir.